Thank you very much for introduction. So I'm a postdoc in Taiwan, National Taiwan University. So my name is Tadashi Okazaki. So today I'm going to talk about the emergence of supergroups from the junctions of membranes. So this is a recent project with my collaborators, Douglas J. Smith. So he's an associate professor in the Durham University. So the talk is including the two papers and also one ongoing work, which is not published yet. Okay, let me start with the motivation and interest in this study. So there have been a very remarkable progress and such a observation in the study of the junctions of brains. So just 3 years ago, so Mikhail Huitian observed, so the study that just both-sided brains, D3 brains, attached on the NS5 brain. So in this four-dimensional description, so they are taking the topological twisted, the GL twisted, N equal 4 sigma pi mu series. And at the junctions, so the interfaces in the three dimensions. So they are claiming that so we have a three-dimensional supergroup Chan-Simon series. And the total action is described by this Lagrangian. And then, so this is the first remarkable observation, appearance of the supergroup coming from the junctions of brain. And very recently, so the David here and such observed that the case of the just a two-dimensional junctions, which is just a continuous work of Mikhail Huitian. And in this case, so the four-dimensional bulk series, so the just three different types of fibrins separate the four-dimensional bulk series, the four-dimensional so UN gauge series. And at the interfaces in three dimensions, we have a three-dimensional supergroup Chan-Simons. And at the intersection, the junction of two dimensions, so we have a vertex operator algebras. This is the first the claiming of these works. So, and this vertex operator algebra is underlying such a WZW algebras of the supergroup. So this is the Bayley's analysis for the study for the just junction of brains. So the today's talk is basically what about the M theoretical cases. So this is the interest. And this is the plan of this talk. So we passed through the just introduction. So the remaining talks, I will review the content of the analysis. So how can we investigate for the junction of brains using the just a field theory. And the section 3 and 4 are just recent works, just based on the papers, two papers. And the final section, so I will talk about such ongoing work. And this is an alternative description for the recent, or just a proposal for the just a Bayesian written model in two dimensions using the quantum mechanics. Okay, let's start with such a review parts of the analysis. So the first of all, I'd like to tell you briefly about just the topological twisting. So topological twisting is just a modification of the Euclidean spacetime using this R symmetry or global symmetry. And this is invented by Witten in 1988. And we can also put a series on the covered spaces and a computer just a partition function exactly using a localization technique. However, if you put this as a think of the series describing the world body, such a world volume description of brains, then we can think of this Euclidean symmetry as a world volume, just a space-time symmetry. And R symmetry is interpreted as just a transverse spaces for the just a brain perspective. Then so this method is used for the just a description of the curved brains, some propagation of the brains in just fluctuating in the curved spaces. So the brains can lap on a such a supersymmetric cycles, so the known as the calibrated cell manifold, and also we can put some ambient space, so embedding this space into the some special ambient space, then we can preserve supersymmetry. And the interesting is that if you take a decoupling limit, so that we can get the topological twisted descriptions, and this is firstly observed by Barshavsky Sato Buffer in 1995. So let me give you an example. So this is an example using the N equal 4 sigma pi mu series. So as you know, such a four-dimensional Euclidean descriptions with just SU6 or SU4R symmetries are describing a D3 brain propagating in just a six-dimensional torus-torus-mass directions. And the twisting in this series, so they are known to be just a three distinct topological twists in any corpuscle by amyls. So the terminology, so there's a GL twist, a geometric Langlands twist, and also Buffer-Witten twist and a Donaldson-Witten twist. So there are many ways to describe, so to explain about such a topological twist, but one possible explanation is we think of homomorphism of the just Euclidean space into the R symmetry. Then we can think of such a particular decomposition of the fundamental representation. This is a four-dimensional representation under SO6. And then we can decompose into the just SU2 cross SU2 cross U1. And depending on this such a decomposition, so we can have a different types of topological twists. So to understand the description of brains, the covered brain descriptions, the significant part is how many scalar fields can survive after topological twists in a bosonic fields and the supercharges. So that in the case of GL Buffer-Witten Donaldson-Witten twists, we have a scalar fields, two scalars, three scalars, and two scalars. And they are so saying that we have just an ambient space with dimension 10 minus 2 as just an 8, and a 10 minus 3 as 7, and 10 minus 2 as an 8 dimension. And for the supersymmetry, we can see that such a scalar, just a covariant constant spinners, just a two components, two components, one component. And this is the numbers of the supercharges in the ambient space. So parallel to this fact, so we know that three known for the just a four supersymmetric cycle embedded in ambient space X. So they are just a Lagrangian manifold inside this Calabi-Yau-4 manifolds, Calabi-Yau-4 poles, and co-associated with cycle in the G2 manifolds. And also KD cycles inside just a spin 7. So correspondingly, so we have a topological twist for each case, so that you can see the dimension. So these numbers are just the dimension of these manifolds, and the supersymmetry also the corresponding to the remaining scalar components. So namely, so we have a beautiful observational interpretation for the twisted and corpuscular pi amyls as a curved description of DC brains. So we would like to consider the case of just the M2 brains in M series. So they are known to be the description as the VLG model, the transversal matter series with N equal A supersymmetry based on a D3 bracket. And this case, so classically, we have just a SO8R symmetry, and the field content is this 8 scalar component, and this is just an 8 dimensional representation under SO8. And also, this is just a two component spinners in just a space time. So we have 16 components fields for the fermions. And also, we have a gauge fields. And the problem is, so we would like to consider a case with just M2 brains lapped on Riemann surface inside the Calabi-Yau manifold to preserve supersymmetry. And taking the decoupling limit, what type of theory can we get? So the case I consider is that there's a Calabi-Yau manifold as a line bundle structure. So we have four line bundles over the Riemann surface. So then this corresponds to the case where we have a decomposition of our symmetry into the just a Cauchon. Then we can define the spin, modify this twisted spin using this Cauchon of this SO8, and AI just a coefficient determining the twisting. So this information is just captured by the just degrees of line bundles. We can determine this degrees of line bundles and also the genus. And this numbers of the non-vanishing coefficients correspond to the case where we have Calabi-Yau 2, 3, 4, 5 poles. If you have a non-vanishing coefficient, just a four non-vanishing coefficients, we have just a Calabi-Yau 5 description. If you just turn on one coefficient, it corresponds to the Calabi-Yau 2 or K3 surface. So in the K3 surface, so we can determine the twisting uniquely since this coefficient is uniquely determined. Okay. Okay, now let's turn to the analysis of open brains, such as attached on the other brains. So this is basically the analysis of the supersymmetric boundary condition if you consider the BPS brains attached on other brains. So if you have the boundary in a few series, so that to preserve equation motion, so we just require this vanishing condition. But if you have supersymmetry, we also have these particular requirements. So the computing a supercurrent, so this is known as the Onsher method. So this under this so the condition for the just preservation of the equation of motion, so the current vanish, the normal component current vanishing condition correspond to the just preservation of the supersymmetry. So because of these terms actually vanishing, so the remaining, so that if we require this, then the supersymmetry also preserve at the boundaries. So this is a particular case of the open D3 brains, and so given by this Davide, and also, so yeah, we can compute just the supercurrents, and also the decomposition of our symmetry is significant. So this is basically associated to just our symmetry decomposition as the additional pi brains attached on the D3. So we can find a boundary condition to preserve supersymmetry, like a Neumann type condition for gauge fields and Dirichlet type condition for the just gauge fields. And more general case, we can have a Naum equation, but now we are taking a simple one, just a single D3 brain attached on just these D5 brains. So the Neumann condition corresponds to the SNS pi brains, and the Dirichlet condition corresponds to just the D5 brains. This is a known result. In the case of M2 brains, so we can also consider boundary conditions and computing the just a supercurrent. And depending on the R-symmetry decomposition, so we can find just a particular interpretation of the brains attached on the M2 brains.
Is it
equal? Yes.
I just want to understand, are you fixing a particular way of fixing the theory on the M2 brain, or are you still leaving that open?
So I'm just talking about the flat case. So the flat M2 brains, just that we are, yes. But the second part, I will proceed such a curved case. Yeah. So in the case of flat brain, the M2 brains. So the one of the example is the M2 brain attached on M5 brains. So the 11 dimensional space time. So we have just SO8 R symmetry in just the ABLG model. But this is just decomposing into SO4 cross SO4 due to the just attached M5 brains. Then the interesting just boundary condition is known as the Bass-Harvey equation. So this is an extension of Naum equation, but underlying the just these three brackets. And the other just scalar field satisfy the Dirichlet condition because just M5 brains just localize and such a for these corresponding scalar components. And recently, so that we have a mathematician interpret this BPS equations as odd components of the Jacobi identity of these superalgebras.
In PSL2, so she appears independent of the number of brains?
So this case, so that we are thinking of the BLG model, and this rank is just a 2. That's why we are taking, so with this PSL2/2 structure is just coming from the ABJ, BLG model is basically written as the SU2 cross SU2. Then so the complexification works. And this is embedded in SL2/2. So these equations, such a missing part of the Jacobi identity of these three algebras, are restored, they claim. So given this equation, so we can show that we have our embedding structures of the BLG model into the these superalgebras.
So when you say these equations, you mean the ones without the derivative?
Yes, but this derivative, yes, more precisely, I think the crucial part is just the C bracket structures. Yes. So the.
So I think you look at the pole-like solution where instead of the pole of either two, that would be a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be very interesting, but yes. But I didn't follow precisely, but this is observation. So this is a kind of a belief review on this analysis. So how do we know about the curved brains to study the twisted field series? And how do we know about the open brains attached on the just additional brains by studying the boundary condition? So now we'd like to discuss the, such a combination, so the curved open brains. So we are considering the certain configuration in M series. So the M2 brains stretch between the non-parallel M5 brains. So we just think, we think that just the space-time, in 11-dimensional space-time, as the K3 cross R7. And the K3 geometry is taken as 0, 1, 9, 10. And we are taking the Lehmann surface embedded in K3. And the M2 brains is lapped on this Lehmann surface. And then M5 brains lapped on the K3 and just stretched, expanded in just a flat direction. So totally, the K3 first is to break down just half of the supersymmetry. We have a 16 supersymmetry. And the additional M2, M5, M5 prime break down into the just two. So the totally, we can have two supercharges in this configuration. And in M2 brain perspective, so the M5 brains are heavier. So the just a transfer direction of M5 brains just fixed by in the just M2 brain description. So that we are expecting that the effective field series from the M2 brain perspective describing only the K3 such a fluctuation inside K3. So the method we analyze is that. So firstly, we are thinking of the twisting for the ABJM or BLG models. So then we can get the description of curved brains. Then we impose a boundary condition for the twisted BLG or ABJM model. So the case three cases, so we, as I said, so the twisting can be uniquely determined. So the eight components of eight scalar components in the bosonic fields decompose into six scalars and the differential one form on a Riemann surface. And the fermions also decompose into the just the scalars and the one form. And the 16 components, now we have eight scalars and eight components for the one form. So the eight components of the scalars in the fermions is equal to the case of the spinners, just the supercharges. So this means that we have eight supercharges after topological twist. And the significant part is this one form, describing the, just the K3, the fluctuation in K3. Then we impose a boundary condition using this twisted series. So we can compute just a super current associated to just supercharges of the covariant constant spinner. So this is the expression, a little bit complicated. So we found that, what type of supersymmetry, the boundary condition can we get. So the result is five types of equations. The first two equations, the first two lines, it's a similar, so this equation is similar to the Bassel-Harvey, but the additional equation is just a Dirichlet boundary conditions. So they are just including the phi, sigma, sigma. Yeah. Yeah, these are blue equations correspond to the boundary condition for these scalars. And the second family, the green line, it's not clear, but yes, this equation is corresponding to the remaining parts, the fixed Dirichlet condition. And the important part is that these equations, so part of the equation, Dirichlet condition included. So it means that we have no propagation for the phi, sigma, and rho. They're only for this one form can survive because they don't satisfy the Dirichlet condition. And they are satisfying the Bassel-Harvey type equations. associated to the, such a Lie super algebras. So this is an observation, as I said. And the remaining equation is just a holomorphic boundary condition for just a one form. So far, so using such a supersimple boundary condition, we determine the boundary condition for the just a scalar fields and the one forms, and the just a matter fields. But also, we would like to just fix the boundary condition for the gauge fields. But the transimal terms, just a first derivative kinetic term, so we cannot determine the boundary condition for the gauge fields. So, but we observe that just a gauge invariant boundary condition. So, if you have just transimal terms, so we cannot preserve the gauge symmetry. So, but gauge symmetry for the transimal terms, we know that such a holomorphic or anti-holomorphic boundary condition can allow us to conserve the gauge invariance at the boundaries. So we are taking this boundary condition associated to this multiplicity of M2 planes just kept. So there's a known result for the Lagrangian multiplier requiring this flatness condition. Then we can get such a Bessner-Witten term. For just a pure gauge, we can get the Bessner-Witten models at the boundaries. So, but as I said, the BLG model and ABGM model has just the structures of the quivers. So we have a product structure of the gauge group. And associated with these structures, we have two terms. So that we have just a WZW models, just a opposite level K and minus K. This is just a bosonic gauge field boundary conditions. So just inducing the Bessner-Witten model.
So what happens to the things from the edges of the burger?
What happens for?
To the fields coming from the edges, the arrows of the burger?
Quiver gauge series?
Yes. The point in them, what happens to
the fields? Yes, the quiver gauge, so what it means? The case we are taking just A2 and AZ as these particular forms. And then so we can have just a G type and G hat type for the two transimal terms.
Yes, but there's also edges.
It is edges.
But there should be matter.
Yes, matter should be considered later. So just now I was thinking of a gauge invariant boundary condition and what type of gauge fields inducing that boundary.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. So the story is starting from here. So we are now thinking about boundary condition, two different types of boundary condition, gauge boundary condition, pure boundary condition, supersimple boundary condition for matters. So here is our idea. So our finding is that, so we are defining such a new, so the fields, this is noted as curl A. And this curl A is the complexification of gauge fields. So this is the original gauge fields. And the additional thing is that, so the phi and this, this capital phi and the sigma and the rho are the scalar components, the matter fields. And the phi is just a twisted differential one form. So using this new sort of gauge fields, curl A, we can think of the flatness condition. Then, this condition, so if we think of just a flatness condition for the gauge fields, so we require this vanishing. So, but the other component, the other just terms, are just corresponding to the supersimple boundary condition for matters. So, namely, if you define this complexified gauge fields and requiring a flatness condition for this, the supersimple boundary condition for this twisted matter fields just come about in just a complexified gauge invariant boundary condition. So it suggests that we have just a complexification for the just a gauge fields after topological twist. So namely, so this condition, such a complexified gauge fields, are relevant to this holomorphic boundary condition for gauge fields. We can get such a mixture of the supersimple boundary condition and the gauge invariant boundary condition. So our claim is that if you require this condition, so we can have just a complexified SL2C, just a Chan Simon matrix, just a Chan Simon, just a this in a written terms as a boundary. So this is analysis for the just the bosonic fields at the boundaries. So now we would like to discuss the fermionic fields. Oh, before that, so I would like to comment on the such a similar phenomena in the just a twisted cases. So the D3 is locked on a K3 in the sigma Riemann surface in K3. So we also have a twisted N equal 4 super mu's and the equation, the VBS equation on a Riemann surface, and known as the Hitchens equation. And this Hitchens equation can be also summarized as a one single complexified flatness condition. So if you have just a Riemann surface left by the some planes, such a complexification may occur. This is sort of a similar phenomena in the D3 cases. Okay, now let's turn to the just analysis of fermionic fields. So the after topological twist, the fermions are changed into the scalar and the just one form fields. And so these just two objects, just the scalars and the one form, are known as just symplectic fermions. And this is a Gauss system. So if you think about the Lagrangian description for these fields, the symplectic fermions, so we can pick up such a particular coupling. So also we are requiring such a just a classical conformal invariance of the two-dimensional surfaces. Then we can have these terms. But observing that, so such a one-form fields, it's not just a dynamical field because they cannot have just a kinetic term due to easily counting analysis, the dimension counting analysis. So namely, so the one form field is just auxiliary fields. So then, so the such a so after the integration of the auxiliary one form fields, so remaining terms is only these two terms. So up to just a constant, just a coefficient kappa A and kappa B. So the summarizing all the just the possible terms at the boundaries, we just found that this is complexified Bessel and Witten terms from the bosonic fields, and also the symplectic fermions up to just a constant, just coefficients. So the question is, so can we determine these coefficients, or we can discuss? So then we observe that such a supergroup structures comes at the boundaries. So then we can start with such a supergroup Bessel and Witten model. So this is known in just these condensed matter physics and some analysis in the field series. So we can start with the super matrices, and we can use such a Fourier-Koch-Wigma identity and also Gauss decomposition, and reduce to just a known Lagrangian description using the ordinal matrices. And the resulting form is this form. So now, so we have sum of the two Bessel and Witten term, and also the such a symplectic fermions coupled to the bosonic fields. And then we can determine the coefficient here. So this is our proposal. So if you think about a supersymmetric invariant and the Gauge invariant condition at the boundaries, so we can have this Lagrangian description at the two-dimensional boundaries. So this terminology is not so, I think, appropriate. But this description is only capturing the fluctuation inside the K3 surface. In that sense, this is topological description in the two-dimensional boundary. So the supergroup structures is associated with this higher extended supersymmetry in three dimensions. So this opposite sign, k and plus k and minus k, is now we can understand as the just a super trace structures. So the k and minus k is associated to the super trace structures of the super matrices. So this is kind of a mystery question. Why do we have such a quiver by fundamental transitional matter series allow us to have highly extended supersymmetry in three dimensions? But this is observed by the VDA and also the Professor Hosomichi. So such as supergroup structures underline such a consistent Lagrangian description in three dimensions. Also, this is a brief comment on the twisted ABJM. But the ABJM case, we have just a classically SU4R symmetry. So the, if you think about only this SU4 as just a twisting, so we cannot restore the description of curved brains. But additionally, we can use just a flavor symmetry, such as baryonic charges. So then we can have just a description, so associated to just a K3 collabial in particular way. So this is the assignment of the charges. And then we can also have just a half of supersymmetry and half of scalar components. Half is not correct, but four to three is a description of the scalars. And the remaining one is just a unfold. And also half of supersymmetry preserved in this particular twisting. So the concerning thing are such ABJM models, we can also construct just a non-abelian, n is arbitrary, as the just a GL n slash n WZW models at the boundaries. So this is our proposal, and in the first paper. So if you think about such a multiple and such a supersymmetric configuration of M2, M5, M5 prime brains, we can have such a topological description as a two-dimensional WZW model with a supergroup.
So
we are taking the limit where the length of the M2 brain is going to zero. Right. And then we are thinking of just a Riemann surface. They are just an intersection of M2, M5, M5 prime along these two directions. And also the description is only capturing here. Moving is not, I think, the appropriate expression. It's a fluctuation inside K3. Is a kind of, I think, counting of the maybe holomorphic curve inside K3 associated to this long such a gauge here, maybe vector bundle. Okay, now we would like to discuss such a analysis of the series itself. So this is non-result for the, if you think about the Bessel vector models, and then we can compute the current. So the associates are such a holomorphic current in this form. Then we can show that, so the affine B algebras, but this case, the underlying gauge, just a symmetry, just as these super algebras. So this is nothing but affine D super algebras. So the affine D super algebra, I just briefly, maybe it's a very brief explanation. So this is a loop algebras, and we have a level and just a derivation. But this is basically just these supers. So we have just odd parts and even parts. And the Cauchon is also, we have three ingredients. So that just a usual three super, and also just a derivation and also levels. But level is now fixed in just a written description. And we introduce a coordinate in the Cauchon subalgebras. In a loop space, I should comment, I should explain more, because this is a very important concept. So we have two bases, epsilon and delta. And we take the normalization for this epsilon. So this is just a norm of the epsilon and delta. And in this loop space, we can define a weight. And using this weight, we can consider the highest weight representation of modules. But we have a new notion, and in these super cases, this is known as the atypicality. So the atypicality is defined all the roots. So beta is all the roots, commutative just also now with each other. So basically, all the root is using such a basis. So this is a difference of the two bases, epsilon minus delta, or delta minus epsilon. So then using such a norm, that's a notation, we can show that this is orthogonal with each other. And just a typicality is defined as just this condition. So if you take this highest weight as the satisfying this condition, so this is known as the atypical representation. So the numbers of this order root is known as the atypicality. And so the generally, we can write down this highest weight using basis in this form. And then atypicality is just nothing but just how many just same just equal coefficient x and y. So I will give you the example, but this is just a basic expression for the just highest weight using the basis. So the there is a notion as a weight diagram in these superalgebras. So this is a combinatorical tool to describe such a represent just a weight. Highest weight of the D superalgebra. So we have just four signatures. So the just a V signature, hat signature, then a cup signature, and just a cap signature, and a left open and right open. So we have a number line. Then we put these signatures along the number line. And so we have four types of these signatures. And we read so these four signatures. So the cup signatures as the overlap of the x and y. And the left open is only for the x, and the right open is only for the y. And just a cap notation is just nothing, just empty. So here's the example. So if you have these signatures, so we can read off these coefficients. So the 3 is a position of the coefficients, and the 5 is also position of the basis, epsilon. And this is a very simple just a diagram, but it's very convenient, just a convenient tool to understand the just a representation of the D superalgebra. So the example, so we have just a GL n slash m. So the number of n, m, and atypicality is nothing but just numbers of these signatures. So now we'd like to sort of go back to the just a brain, just a compilation. So if you have such a M2, M5, M5 prime system, so the sheaf fields giving like just M2 charges. So they're associated to the M5, M5 prime. So M5, M5 prime giving rise to different types of charges, x and y. Then we can put these just the M2 brain charges like this. So we have three different types of charges. So the first family is only for the M5 excitation. The charges only for the M5. And the middle one is just a shared charges. So these charges are also kept for the just M5 and M5 prime. And also these are just the remaining one is only for M5 prime. And corresponding to this, just a configuration of brains, we can put these signatures. In empty case, we can use this cap notation. So then this is example. So we can now, one-to-one correspondence to the just a weight diagram. And we can read this weight, highest weight associated with this. Then we'd like to focus on this atypicality. So this is a shared charges by M5 and M5 prime.
So what a weight crystal representation? Mm-hmm. Does a brain configuration give you a representation? Does
yes.
Can you explain that or not?
So Mikhail Witten pointed out such a vacuum compression brains relevant to this weight diagram. So we just used this idea, but nobody, I think, used that so far.
So you can construct a
Bambi line,
a Bambi
defect, a line defect, or something that will carry this. Well, so here, so we just are using, given such a vacuum compression brains, we can associate to the particular representation. But field analysis, I do not know how to, yes. Yes, so the case we have just atypicality. This is the case for the just four atypicalities four. But the problem is how we can compute such a partition function or some quantities in just a field series or such a representation series. So we are now thinking of defining the just indices for the particular brain this particular brain configuration. So these just a tool in a field series in the Bayesian meta models. So the capturing the just information. So the atypical this H is just Hilbert space in a space. This a Hilbert space in a field series. And we are taking this Hilbert space as the atypical module over the GL n slash n with maximal just atypicalities is so we are now focusing on the maximal atypicality. So the maximal means just all of us are just M2 brains stretched between the M5 and M5 prime. And this L node is just a Hamiltonian, for instance, a light moving Hamiltonian. So we are taking this as this excitation modes of M2 brains, just a winding numbers along the S1. So the now M2 brains are wrapped on a, just a Riemann surface. And then we are taking this particular one cycle as just a excitation modes of the winding number. And this fugacity FA, this fugacity XA corresponds to this FA. FA is the M2 brain charges, as I said. So these three information of the vacuum, just the brain configurations, are now captured by these indices. So now we'd like to compute these indices. And so here I'd like to just use the Katz vacuum model formula proposed by mathematician Katz and vacuum model. And defining of the super characters of the super algebras, affine these super algebras. And using such a coordinates of Cartan, we can write down as the super trace structures. And the vacuum model, Katz vacuum model formula is given by this. And the significant part is this denominator. So this is a new ingredient in the super cases. And using such a affine super denominator. And so we also have just a coefficients, additional coefficients, such a normalization. This is known as a normalized super character. So we are now taking L naught contribution, and this is the appropriate one. So the then the resulting just indices, so just a defining indices, this I can be written using the Katz-Wakimoto formula we can write down in this form. And very interesting and also very mysterious thing is that this quantity is known to be the just a Mock modular form, the Mock theta function. So in the usual ordinary affine D algebras, the indices is usually just modular form. But if you think about the super affine D super, then just the characters or super characters is known to be is conjectured to be Mock modular. So far, I think there are no explicit and concrete explanation why we get Mock modular form for the affine D super characters or super characters. So what does Mock modularity mean in this perspective using the brain analysis? So I'd like to discuss such a three parts, such a non-homomorphic. So if you think about this Mock modularity, we can construct such a torus partition function, some contribution from for the torus partition function. And also, this is suggesting that we have some Volkov-Quasin phenomena in the counting of the BPS states associated with this configuration. This is a kind of explanation for the Mock modular form. So the Mock modular form is just a homomorphic function associated with the shadow. This is just a weight 2 minus k modular form. And Euler integrals make us to construct just a modular form using the just non-holomorphic pieces, G star here. And the resulting quantity is modular form, but it's non-holomorphic. So if you think about torus partition function with additional just a cube node just a contribution, so assuming that we have a holomorphic factorized Hilbert space in the discrete spectrum, and also possibly we have supersymmetry, then the quantities, essentially, we have no contribution from this Q bar. So that this is nothing but a holomorphic modular form. the modularity is required for the torus, you know, module just the defining equation, defining the quantity is just a invariant under just SL2Z, then we have just a modular form and also required for the, from this factorized Hilbert space. But if you think about a supergroup based on vector model, the Hilbert space is known to be including additional atypical sectors. And this is not just a factorized holomorphic and anthropomorphic part. And the resulting quantity would be such a modular, non-holomorphic modular form. So this is sort of associated to the fact that we have some non-holomorphic super characters for the affine D superalgebras.
Is that additional piece continuous spectral?
Possibly, but basically this observation is just a existence of an atypical sector, but I'm not sure whether this is continuous or not. Yeah, I think the factorized Hilbert space, this homomorphic factorized Hilbert space and just a discrete spectrum, two ingredients are just significant. But if you have just a continuous spectrum, as you said, we have non-holomorphic such a quantities because we have no cancellation for excitation modes. Energy densities does not allow us, even if you have supersymmetry, so we have particular non-holomorphic features.
So usually this modularity appears when there is some non-compact collections in theory. Do you see any non-compactness in the
image? Well, so non-compactness means that we have a continuous spectrum, right? Then if you have a supersymmetry in a computing elliptic genus, for instance, then such a continuum spectrum does not allow us to cancellation of the excitation. So the energy densities in the case of, so if you have a discrete spectrum, you have a cancellation. Then only the resultant quantities can be holomorphic modular form. That is known to be some elliptic genus computation if you have discrete spectrum. But if you have continuous spectrum, as you say, non-compact GFD, so we have non-holomorphic modular form. But here, the observation is basically some existence in the Hilbert space, some BPS sectors. I'm not sure whether this is also associated with the non-compactness of the CFD, but possibly. Okay, this is a result in the computation of PSL2/2. So we get expression for the indices. So this card A to 1 is just a multivariable upper reach sum of order 2 and index 1. So the multivariable upper reach sum is including two variables, Z1 and Z2. So the upper reach sum of order 2 and index M is known, and so this is the expression. But so we are finding that such a multivariable upper reach sum. And so we can make it modular. So the analysis is given by the Ashok and others. So we are also taking the analysis and we make it modular. So this is basically the analysis of the making it modular. So I'd like to also tell you about such a upper reach sum, the significance of the upper reach sum. So the upper reach sum is basically relevant to the basic function of this. So it is kind of an operation known as the averaging operation. So this makes the function f to the Jacobi form of index m. So using this averaging operation for this, we can get upper reach sum. So basically, such a Wolkowski phenomena is associated with this basic function. So if you consider the Fourier expansion of this function, so the absolute value of x is less than 1, we can expand, but other region we cannot in general. So this is relevant to the phenomena of Wolkowski. So in the physical application, we usually consider just a Fourier expansion as the counting of some states or some curves. So the coefficient can be read off as the some particular numbers of states or curves. Then, in this case, depending on some parameters of the field series or some series, so we cannot expand, and this quantity is different. That is nothing but a wall crossing. Also, in the case of this Dessau-Appel sum, so we cannot expand in this region, in the parameter region. So this is also known as the wall crossing. But in our case, so this is not just a single single Appel sum. We are now getting the Appel sum of much variable case. We do not know how we can understand such a wall crossing application, but it might be relevant to this wall crossing. Also, Appel sum has very interesting properties. So that this theorem is sort of observed by the Volcker, Massey, and Daguerre. So the meromorphic Jacobi form weight 2 have a decomposition with two pieces, just a finite piece and polar parts. And the polar parts including this Appel sum, and so the meromorphic Jacobi form of weight 2 as the Fourier coefficients. This is a known result for the polar parts, including this Appel sum of order 2. And in the physical application, so this fact is associated to the counting of the coda VBS diagram. So the partition function is given by this IGSA cusp form of weight of 10. And so this can be fully expanded, including the meromorphic Jacobi form weight of 2. Then we also have a decomposition of finite and polar parts, and physical implication immortal black hole, and also multicenter black hole associated with this Appel sum. So we do not know yet what type of such implication can arise for the multivariable cases, but possibly such a wall crossing implication maybe relevant to the M2M5 system. But we do not know yet. Okay, so far there's such analysis, and so including the papers we already wrote down. But from here, so I'd like to tell you some ongoing work, so which is some alternative description of the system using the quantum mechanics. So the problem is, so that we are now thinking of this particular M5 brain, M2 brain system. So the other limit we can take, so we are taking the shrinking limit of the Riemann surface. Then possibly we expect to have a one-dimensional description capturing the dynamics of this brain configuration. So our proposal is starting with some particular M2M2 intersection. So, but before thinking of that, I'd like to tell you the simple case. This is a simple M2M2 intersection in a Pratt case. So this is firstly, I think, in M-theoretical configuration, Gantt-Wendt, Gomez, Townsend, just discussing. So we can, just using such a M2 brains, such a three-dimensional ABJ, so ABJ or BLG, we can compute the supercharges. And this is three-dimensional n equal 6 or n equal 8 superalgebras containing the two central charges, the zero-form central charge and just one-form central charge. And using such a projection condition from this space-time in the 11-dimensional space-time, so we can compute just the Hamiltonian density using the just our volume series. And then, so the, using this projection, we can find that just bounded by below as the using associated with this zero-form central charge. And the resultant equations coming from the just holomorphic condition for the phi, this is the complex phi scalars and associated to these 3-4 scalars. And the configuration is relevant to the holomorphic curves or vortices. So the physical implication, so we are now six scalar components are fixed, and only 3-4 components can survive, and they are satisfying this condition. So this vortices is just a vortices in Chan-Simon series. So since we have a three-dimensional n equals 6 or n equals 8 Chan-Simon Mara series. And for the Chan-Simon vortices, so there have been the proposal, so in the one-dimensional quantum mechanics. So this is firstly proposed by Polico and Nakos, and recently studied by Drayton and Turner. So they are proposing such a vortices in a Chan-Simon series can be captured by this quantum mechanics. So that these are joint scalars, and a phi is just a fundamental scalars. And this is quantum mechanics. So this is a kind of a, just a Chan-Simon terms in quantum mechanics. So the alpha is a gauge field. And this is harmonic type of the potential. So the equation of motion is very simple. And also we have a Gauss law constraints after the integration of the alpha. In a vacuum configuration or ground states, classically, we can easily solve. And if you think about the gauge group, so that just n, the rank n is divisible by p, then we can extend the classical solution in this form. And the recent analysis by Dray, Tone and Turner in just 2016, the last year. So if you define this current, so the current expression given by this phi and z, then so using this classical ground state and taking the large n limit, they are showing that we have just affine Kac-Moody, affine Lie algebras as a Kac-Moody of the SUP. The SUP is just a global symmetry of the so this I is just a indices for the SUP global symmetry. So if you have just a P fundamental, just scalars, then finally, so they are showing this current obeying the just affine D algebra, SUP hat. So now we back to another, consider the case of just M to M to M two prime intersection, and then so this configuration, we are also taking such a compact space in 0, 1, and 9, 10. And so we are expecting to have just a quantum mechanical description of the just a shared x2 direction. So now, so we are taking these six directions as the just a non-compact. Then so the M2 brains, the PM2 brains wrapped on the compact spaces. So then the other two M2 brains are heavier than the M2 brain, the PM2 brains. So in that perspective, so this PM2 brain is heavier, and the UP symmetry as multiplicity of this one is just fixed, just global symmetry. And the other UM multiplicity symmetry is taken as some gauge field, yeah, gauge group, sorry. And associated to this gauge field, gauge symmetry, so we have some gauge fields. In the description for the compact space, we have just a scalar component, z and j tilde. And also M2 brains are heavier than the others. We have just a fluctuation to the M2 relevant, so relative to M2 brains, PM2 brains, as this is fundamental phi IA and phi tilde k alpha. So then also we have a supersymmetry in this configuration. We have a super partners. And so we can actually summarize these as a field contents, so in a, such a matrix expression in super matrix forms. So, this is one of the proposal for the description, but this is just proposal. We not derive so explicitly, but this particular system is interesting. So the some extension of the Chan-Simon vortex quantum mechanics using a super matrix. So the associated to this, we have a topological term z, phi, and also the gauge field. And also we can derive the Gauss law constraints. So in that case, the interest is, what about the case of large n, large m limit? So we couldn't just show so far such a large n, large m limit giving rise to the just a affinement of the V-super or such a SUP or SUQ. But if it works, so this phenomena associated to brain configurations as the some condensate of M2 brains into the M5 brains. So since the large N and M limit is so that allows us to have just a number Poisson bracket from the DC algebras observed by Peimin and Matsuo in just 2008. So the picture is just coming, so there's a very brief pictures. So if you think about this particular configuration, M2, M2, so the three M2 intersections, so we can take so that just a large N limit. Then so M2 brains become M5, and they just expand to the just a compact directions. And also M2 brains, this additional M2 prime brains, Theta brains, also become the M5 prime as a condensation, like this. And also we can pick up such a state along this X2 direction as a classical ground state. So this is, if you have such a large and large M limit in this brain configuration, we can have a M5, M5 prime, and M2 brain system. And this possibly is implicated as this description of the alternative description for the M2, M5, M5 prime system. Okay, this is a final some possible future direction. And so I should stop here. Thank you.
Thank you.